Hey guys, it's your host Julian. This week I'm sitting down with resident cartoon junkie Mr. Brandon Jones from Animation Destination to talk all things What a Cartoon. This episode right here is part two. Brandon did part one over on his show, Animation Destination. So make sure you go over to his podcast and check out part one. I want to give a special shout out to a couple of our patrons that helped make this podcast possible. Bill, Brent, Brittany, Call Me Spikey, Eight-Legged Bird, Jacob, and Nick. Thank you all so much for your support. It truly means a lot. Now, let's get on to my chat with Brandon about What a Cartoon. Welcome to What's My Podcast. My name is Julian. Today I'm joined by resident cartoon junkie from Animation Destination, Mr. Brandon Jones. Brandon, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, before you go any further with this episode, make sure you go over to Animation Destination. He has part one of this chat. This is part two. So if you want to, which you do want to, you need to hear what we were talking about. We're talking about What a Cartoon over on Brandon's podcast, Animation Destination, on Spotify, on YouTube. Not YouTube. Are you on YouTube yet?
I'll be on YouTube soon.
He's going to be on YouTube soon, so make sure you hit like, subscribe, and share the shit out of his channel. And then we've got Spotify, we've got Apple, we've got Google Podcast. I don't know too many. Amazon, I think they're doing podcasts now these days too. So wherever you listen to your podcast, absolutely. And then click the links below. You can follow over to Animation Destination. But like I said, What a Cartoon. We finished up with probably the most interesting of the What a Cartoon shorts with Ralph Bakshi's, what was it, Melvin?
Yeah. Melvin was and it? Malcolm.
Melvin and Malcolm, thank you.
Or Malcolm, Malcolm, Melvin, and Babe, he calls me. Yep.
So. Yeah. So we finished up with those, and we're going to go into one of yours. Let's start with one of yours first, man. Yeah. So we talked Larry and Steve. You know, we talked the Ralph Bakshi ones. Which one do you want to go into next? Dealer's choice.
I would love to talk about. I didn't actually talk about this one when we were talking about it prior. So this one's a surprise one. I remember this one because it was just interesting that this was going to be a thing. This one has an interesting story behind it. Dino the Great Eggscape. So yeah. This was a Dino centric episode. It was a short, that was centered around the Flintstones dinosaur dog character Dino, Brontosaurus, pet Brontosaurus, who was very small for some reason.
Can you do a Dino voice?
I don't think I can. Because it's a wispier Astro. It's a little bit different than Astro, so it's hard to say. I'd have to really listen to it and think about it. But
you threw a couple impersonations out there your episode. So I was like, man, I wonder if you can get a Dino in there.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder. I'd have to listen to it and like really hear about it because like it's a very yappy yap. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a very yappy dog voice. So be hard. I think Frank Welker did him. Probably Frank Welker. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised. He does everything.
He did Astro. He did a bunch of stuff. But he does Scooby now, which I was interested to learn that he did not do Scooby back in the day. I didn't know that for the longest time. So I was just assumed it was Fred. Frank Welker that did him. Yeah, he did Fred.
He did Fred. Oh, man, why am I spacing on? Don Messick did Scooby.
Don Messick did him. Yeah, yeah. Don Messick did him for the longest time, and then he took over it in the more modern days, which I was shocked by that. I was like, oh yeah, okay. So he still does Fred to this day. So
yes.
unless we're talking about Velma season two, which we're not.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
I did watch it for some stupid reason because I'm an insane person, but we don't need to talk about it.
Was it good as the first one?
It was about on par. It was probably worse because it was like more boring. Like yeah. I wasn't like insulted by anything that's going on because I knew what was happening. So I was just sort of like, yeah, okay, got it. It just was like flatline the whole time. It never got better.
People like what they like. Yeah. People like what they like and hate what they hate.
It's true. It's true. But Dino the Great Eggscape was a short that was, this was a pitch that was going to happen. They were going to do a whole slew of like Dino shorts. I can't remember what the story was behind it that got that kind of canned. I think it was just like lack of interest because for some reason, like there's always these pitches to relaunch Flintstones. It happens all the time. It happened a lot back in the day because you had the original Flintstones. Then you had the Betty and or the
Wilma
the
show.
Barney. Yeah, yeah, the Betty and Wilma show. Then you had the Barney and Rubble, the Barney and Fred Power Hour thing. There's a bunch of different shows that they put out. Then you had the Flintstone Kids. when everybody was a kid.
I loved it.
Yeah, that was I did too. I watched it all the time. You had was it just called Pebbles and Bam Bam? Yeah, Pebbles and Bam Bam.
Pebbles
show.
And Bam Bam.
Yeah, and you had all these shows that kept going, and then at some point, like, they just decided that they had no interest in doing Flintstones or Jetsons ever again. It's weird because like once the Flintstones movie came out, you thought you would get like a new Flintstones cartoon. Never happened. I think there was like maybe one special that came out. In fact, the only thing that can get these shows to come out again is WWE. WWE is the only thing that can get Flintstones or Jetsons to make a new thing.
Well, they tried with Flintstones on the Rocks not too long ago. I mean,
yeah,
20 years ago, but even then it didn't go anywhere. I think Seth MacFarlane was attached to that one.
He was attached to that one as well. It was also Bob Camp. I want to say the other guy who did Ren and Stimpy was also attached to it. That might have been, he might have been only attached to the Yogi Bear cartoon, which was real bad.
John Kay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did a
man,
Yogi
even
Bear
20
special.
Years ago, they were still trying to get him around.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, they, but they had the Flintstones on the Rocks. I remember that specifically. I remember Seth MacFarlane was going to do a reboot like 10 years ago of the Flintstones. That got canned. It got re-upped again, and now apparently it's canned again. It's because there's, for some reason, they have these ideas to like do more Flintstone stuff, and then it gets canceled. And that happened, I think, the first time with this Dino show, because I remember them talking about this. This was going to be a thing. It was in a few Toon magazines. It was like, here's the first short of oncoming Dino shorts that are going to be coming up to Cartoon Network. And there's nothing ever came of it after that. It just got lack of interest. They pulled away and they said, eh, nobody wants to see Dino shorts. And it's interesting because he's just again, it's a very basic story. He's babysitting an egg. The egg goes through crazy shenanigans, almost gets cracked, blah, blah, blah. But it's all done in the Flintstones world. So, you know, you don't really see that in the time frame that it was around, because you had reruns of Flintstones that still comes out to this day, but new Flintstone stuff wasn't a thing back then. So the last newest Flintstones things that I think I saw was Flintstones Meets the Jetsons. So
yeah,
it was interesting to see like, oh, here's a new Flintstones cartoon that's coming out. And then it never came out. It was very disappointing when that didn't happen. And I don't think I was like super into the idea, but it was just like, oh, this is a property that I know. I'd like to see more of it. And it never happened. Never got to come to fruition. I thought that was a bit sad. So
I was always a Flintstones guy over the Jetsons. You know, and I remember being a little kid and wanting to see more Flintstone stuff. You know, I've never really understood why that one. Scooby-Doo is like synonymous with Cartoon Network. I mean, they're pumping out Scooby-Doo to Cartoon Network is what the Mickey Mouse shorts over on Disney right now. It's just like they're trying to compete, even though I think the Mickey Mouse shorts are a hell of a lot better than a lot of the Scooby-Doo stuff that's coming out. Unfortunately, it's just like oversaturation for me. You know, it's like the thing with all the Star Wars stuff, all the Marvel stuff now. It's just so much stuff out there, and it just feels like it's watered down. You can't really care about something if you're always watching it. You know, you get desensitized to it. But I would love to see something new with the Flintstones. I think Seth MacFarlane would be one of the voices I would love to hear. I think he can make a hell of a story, but you really got to take one of these creators or a couple of these creators and just fill that room full of artists and full of writers that this was their favorite show, or this was a show that they loved. You know, I think that would do the show and us fans some serious justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And yeah, it's a very interesting thing that, you know, because we talked about it on the first half and everything. This is such a unique thing for the time, the What a Cartoon Show, because it was like, it was a sink or fail type of thing. It was just like, hey, we're going to give you guys this shot to take this idea and run with it, and we're going to put it on the air and see where it goes. And I believe Siebert's thing was, his whole pitch of it was promising 48 chances to succeed or fail for new original creators to do a thing. So he had 48 slots to fill, and that's, you know, and some of them got filled by extra ones from other ones. Like, you know, I think Powerpuff Girls had two or three. Johnny Bravo had two. You know, there were some that had like more than just the one. But you know, this idea that like, hey, we're gonna pitch this cartoon show or this all these cartoons. We're gonna let you do what you want, and you get to retain these ideas and stuff like that. And you had big names attached to it. Like again, like William Hanna was attached to this one and several mm-hmm. others. So one of the last cartoons William Hanna ever did was on this show, so ever produced. So, you know, it's crazy. Those are big time names. So,
yeah, those were titans in the industry, though. I mean, those guys brought you some of the greatest cartoons of all time. You know, think about the Hanna-Barbera library. Think about the Ruby Spears library. Think about Tom and Jerry. You think about all of these things. Like, these guys built a foundation of all of our cartoon experiences. You know, one of the first and earliest memories of cartoons, you know, obviously you've got the Looney Tunes, but man, Tom and Jerry played more than any cartoon I remember growing up. I mean, Tom and Jerry Kids, you had Tom and Jerry, you had a pup named Scooby-Doo, you had Scooby-Doo. Yeah. You know, like I said, you had all of these Hanna-Barbera characters, and I know that like that was his last one. You know, I'm always fascinated. And I'm always appreciative of like when people like not only chase their dreams, but they get to do it and set out everything that they set out to do. You know, I'm reminded of like when Kevin Smith had his heart attack. I know we're not talking Kevin Smith, but I love talking about Kevin Smith when I can. Kevin Smith had his heart attack, and he talked about being on that operating table and having that Widowmaker, and then being at peace. Like if he were to go right then, right there, he would be at peace because he got to make every movie he wanted to make up to that point. He got to put his friends and his family in his movies. He got to chase his childhood dream, kind of like what Will and Joe were doing when they were creating these characters. And then to know that he got to finish one of his last cartoons that he got to produce was not one of his biggest hits, but probably, I think the Flintstones is probably the biggest. You could say Scooby, but that was like a Ruby Spears production. So it was absorbed by Hanna-Barbera, you know, and it just, I don't know, man. Like when I think of the Flintstones, it's like, that's that corner piece. That's that Mount Rushmore of the Hanna-Barbera library. You can throw a whole bunch of shit in there. You can throw Scooby in there too. You know, you can throw any other character, but I think the Flintstones, in my opinion, were probably, I mean, I don't know how they felt about it, but probably the one, maybe two, like greatest things they ever created. And to know he got to go out that way. You know, I just thought it was apropos, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Because, again, Flintstones is like, especially for its time, like I said, for some reason, it's just fallen off the executive radar. People don't really want to make a Flintstones thing anymore unless Vince McMahon wants to do it.
Goddamn 28-year-old executives don't
know, right?
Don't like animation, don't know animation. Give me a job, Cartoon Network Studios. I know you're defunct right now, but I can bring you back to the promised land.
Right, yeah. That's the other problem, is just like everything is like, you know, people can like blame executives and stuff, but really it's because Warner Brothers was hemorrhaging like $2 billion a year. That's why. And animation's expensive, so when you get to write it off, it's a big write-off. So I hate that that happens, but you know, I get it. I understand it. I just wish that things that were already finished got to see the light of day. I think it's complete horseshit when something that's complete and ready and out the door.
Release Coyote versus Acme is what we're getting at. We're not cutting it. We're not fucking sending a sneak diss, Drake. We're going straight to the heart.
We're going right to it.
Coyote versus Acme now.
Release it. And they never can, because they literally wrote it off. So it can never be released. It can be leaked at some point, but if I remember right, they literally like canned all of the digital files before they announced it. So it couldn't get leaked, because that's what happened to Crypto and Scooby-Doo. Crypto Scooby-Doo got leaked, and then they just went ahead and released it they said they weren't going to release it. Then it got released, you know, leaked out. So then they released it regularly because they weren't able to do the whole freaking, you know, tax write-off for it, I guess, because the leak. I don't know. So they literally took all the copies of Coyote versus Acme, like canned them and put them in the vault, and then said, nope, we're done. Luckily, they can't be deleted. There are laws about deleting media like that now. So because people worked on those things, you can't just say like, oh, it never existed, because like, people worked on that. That's part of their portfolio. They have to be able to credit it. It has to be real. So they can't delete it. Someone can have, when if WB goes defunct, someone can grab that and like put it up there. So I don't know, but
let's start a GoFundMe, Bren. Fund us to buy Warner Brothers Discovery, whatever the fuck it's called these days. Right. Who was that guy? Ah, for the life of me, he's in Russia right now. He leaked all that information. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's played him in a movie.
Julian Assange.
No, not Julian Assange. No, that's the name I was thinking. He was WikiLeaks. Oh, yeah. It's the other one.
The other guy.
His glasses. He worked in Intel.
Yes.
Yeah. We need the equivalent of that in Cartoon Network, like snooping and going and leaking the Coyote versus Acme.
Yeah. Like, it's so hard to find, like, these sorts of things. There are so many things that I want to find that, like, exist out there that I want so bad. And
let's get back to What a Cartoon in just a second. But if you could think of three things right now that you for sure know, like if I could flip the switch, I would release it. What are three properties, three movies that they haven't done, or three cartoons that you know are out there that you would love to see?
Yeah. Popeye, Genndy Tartakovsky. Mm-hmm. Finish that bitch and send it out. Because I got the leak of that. I got the torrent of that and watched it. And it's great. And I would love to see a finished product of that. Like 100%. Loved it. I would release the here's a deep cut. Did you ever watch the show Visionaries from the 80s, Knights of the Magical Light?
I don't think so.
That is one that I do have a DVD release of that from England. It never got released here, but I do have an English and a UK release of that DVD. But what I would release is I would release the soundtrack of that show. The scores of that show are fucking phenomenal, and I want I want that soundtrack. It's like up there with Thundercats to me with soundtrack. Like, I love that soundtrack. And luckily the soundtrack of Thundercats is readily available. But Visionaries, you cannot hear those songs unless you are watching the show. And just to hear those songs in the background with all the action going on is just like, oh, I love it. That's definitely something that I would release. And the last thing that I would release is Tiger Sharks. From the comic strip, Tiger Shark. I want a full release of Tiger Sharks. I have a bootleg DVD that has like 10 episodes, some not complete, some terrible quality, but I want a full 52 episode release of Tiger Sharks and the comic strip short from Ruby's from Rankin Bass. Like, that's what I want. I need that someday, but can't find it anywhere. Don't know. So there's a reel out there somewhere that someone owns that I would love to pay for.
So. One of these cons, man, one of these nerds have got to have it. Cause that's how I got so much of my stuff when I was younger. I'd go to cons and buy bootlegs. Yeah. You know, it's cause you want to support. That's what sucks about this, about any of this stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll go back to What a Cartoon in just a second, but I think this is very pertinent to what's going on and what we're talking about. Like, if it wouldn't have been for YouTube, we wouldn't have been able to go back and watch What a Cartoon.
Right. No, it's not available anywhere.
You can't. You can't get a physical copy of all of these shorts. You can't. Yeah. Like, the closest thing I have. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah,
I actually got this.
It's
like almost die getting up out of my chair.
I want to say that while you're grabbing that, I want to say the only thing that would probably be available is probably if you bought the Powerpuff Girls DVD or the Dexter's Lab. I'm sure the pilot is somewhere on there. Like, those pilots are probably on there in some capacity, because I'm pretty sure I saw the best quality of those is probably the Powerpuff Girls and stuff like that. So, but that's things that got picked up and were released. So these ones that didn't, you can't find Mina and the Count. There's no Mina and the Count DVD. Kidding? Like doesn't exist.
It'd be nice if there was, and I would love art books for, shit, this might be the wrong one. I would love art books for all of them, the ones that came out, and you know, it's just, I'm actually looking at the Nickelodeon stuff now. So Fred sent me this book, and it was all the stuff that Fred Rader had produced and released, and I could have swore this one had all of the, oh yeah, it does have the What a Cartoon. So nice. You know, so that's the name of the book. Cool. It's the best of the original cartoons. So it's got all of these cards, a little bit of the information and stuff like that. But it's also Nickelodeon, MTV. So everything he did, the five big ones. Oh yeah, cartoons and all that other shit.
Oh yeah, cartoons. That's the freaking other show.
That was the second one.
Yeah.
You know, but it was without releasing, it's much like history. I can't remember who said the quote, but if you forget your history, you forget where you come from, you're doomed to repeat you're doomed to repeat it essentially, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, man. If we don't understand like where these cartoons got their start, like you can trace back Gendy, Craig McCracken, you can trace back all of their careers mm-hmm. through their work. You'd be like, yeah. Oh, they were a Tex Avery fan.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a John Kay reference. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was such and such. If they don't have the physical release of these things, how yeah. are they supposed to inspire? You can see yeah. Samurai Jack now. You can't see Symbionic Titan. No. You can see pieces of it, you know, but you can yeah. see all of these things, but it's going to get increasingly harder for the next crop, the next wave of animators, the next writers, the next artists, the next sound, the musicians, whatever. Mm-hmm. If we don't have physical representation of the stuff that we grew up on as kids, the yeah. stuff that we grew up on as teenagers. And I think yeah. it's very important now more than ever, ladies and gentlemen, you can go buy it physical. Or you can buy it digitally, excuse me. But it's not quite like having a physical copy of yep. a cartoon that you grew up on and yep. absolutely loved as a kid. Thundar the yes. Barbarian. You couldn't find Thundar the Barbarian when you were younger.
No.
I don't know two people that have ever watched Thundar the Barbarian. You know what I mean?
Can I go on a little tangent here because absolutely. It's very relevant? This past week, was it Toon Zone magazine? What was the mag? Retro Fan magazine. Had a Thundar the Barbarian expo, big article, but talking about it. And it was really cool. There was one story in there that was really awesome because, like, you know, you had Alex Toth doing the designs for it, and they were all sitting around the table at Ruby Spears, and they were basically like, "What are we gonna do with these characters? Like, how are we gonna do this? And like, how are we gonna like run this through?" And Alex Toth couldn't be at that meeting. He was doing some other stuff for Hanna-Barbera because he was all over the place. So this other guy came in and they just sort of introduced him real quick. And he's like, "Oh, here's what you want to do. You want to do this and blah, blah." And he's like, just goes real quick and like knows all this stuff, knows how to get these characters where they're at. And like the guy they're interviewing is like, "Oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. This guy's great. Like, who the fuck is this guy?" Yeah. Like, and then afterwards, like he's talking to one of his guys, like, "Who, like, so was that one of the execs? Like, he really knew like his stuff. He like really knew how to do character stuff." And like guy looks around, is like, "That's Jack Kirby." like I didn't know that was Jack Kirby. It's like, we didn't have the internet back then. You don't know who these guys are. It's just like, you know, but he of course knew who Jack Kirby was, like the biggest comic creator, one of the biggest comic creators of all time. It's like Jack Kirby just comes into the meeting table and tells him how to make Thundar the Barbarian cool. It's like, all right, cool. Like,
what was that? That was, you said Retro Fan Magazine?
Retro Fan Magazine, yeah. Yep.
And then you said another Toon Magazine? Magazine?
I said Toon Zone. That's a long dead magazine. They don't even do. Yeah, it's long dead. For some reason, I was thinking Toon Zone, but it was Retro Fan. Yeah. So.
Is Retro Fan just, is it like a whole bunch of stuff, old stuff, or yeah. is it animation?
Yeah, it does a lot of animation. They typically have like a big animation article. They did the mm-hmm. last two were, I was a two-parter on just on Super Friends, which yeah. is really good. And then they have a bunch of other like just old TV stuff. And, you know, like they'll have like some I Love Lucy type stories mm-hmm. and stuff like that in it, but it's like mostly old TV.
Nostalgia
but like,
bomb.
Yeah, but they always have like the big article is always like some big thing in animation, which is cool. So my dad gets it every month, and he sends me the digital copy. So it's awesome. So I can send you the digital copy at some point too. So
I'll have great. To check it out. But if there was a big thing that happened within animation, it was mm-hmm. the What a Cartoon Shorts.
Yes.
We talked Dino, and then we got sidebar. I love this is why mm-hmm. I love podcasting, because you never know yeah. where these conversations are going to go. I'm always happy to see where they go. But one of let's before we go with the last of mine, because we did two of mine over there right. on your show. What was one of the other ones that that you had mentioned that you had looked back so fondly on?
Yeah, I remember doing the what was it called? I forget the name of it. There we go. It was Hard Luck Duck and mm-hmm. Wind Up Wolf. Those are the last two cartoons produced by William Hanna. And it was just, you know, it was about this little duck. And again, he was, you know, it was a very heartwarming kind of a short, very ugly duckling-esque. You know, you have like the little duck that, you know, he's in the, He's in the care of like an alligator who's like taking care of him. And it's got Russi Taylor. It's got Brad Garrett. It's got Jim Cummings. So it's
Jim
all,
Cummings as the wolf or the coyote.
As the coyote, as
or was he a fox or a coyote?
As a wind up, I think it's wolf, because I think his wind up wolf was his gimmick. I can't remember, but I think that was his.
Well, no, Jim Cummings was the Cajun cook in Good Hard Luck Duck. I can't remember if he was a coyote or a wolf.
You're correct.
Or, I mean, a coyote or a fox.
Yeah, correct. Yes, I apologize, but yeah, man, like it's again.
Oh, don't apologize. Just be better, Brandon. That's all I ask. Just be better.
Just be better. Just be better. But yeah, it was created, written, directed by William Hanna. And it's just like, it's this very, like, it's very heartwarming. It's very, it's very cute. It's probably not like the best of any of them, but it's so like symbolic of everything going on that you have these huge names, that are big names now, Seth MacFarlane, Butch Hartman, you know, Rob Renzetti of animation, like that are huge in the industry now, but even back then, one of the, as you called him, a titan of animation at the time, like made a short for this show. Cause again, we didn't have anything, like we didn't have a network that was all cartoons, like even Nickelodeon, which was mostly, you know, kids program, was all kids programming. It wasn't all cartoons. You had television programs, great television programs. You had game shows, wonderful game shows. I would say the game shows of Nickelodeon were my second favorite thing apart from the Nicktoons. You know, and so just to have the final shorts of one of the greatest cartoon creators out there, it's something to be had. It's a piece of history that people should know about, and that comes from just this thing that we don't have hard copies of, like you said. It's all digital stuff, and it's nice that we're able to have these digital releases, these bootlegs, these uploads to YouTube. I don't condone pirating things if you can obtain it legally, but there are so many things that I enjoy that you can't get legally at all. You literally have to pirate it because nobody owns it, nobody's producing it, no one's putting it out there as a product. And it's just things that I enjoy. I like those little hidden gems out there that, like, maybe it's not the best thing in the world, but it was William Hanna's last cartoon. That means something. That's a real thing. And I would love to just see a DVD release of What a Cartoon Show just for that. Like, we get to have like the first cartoon by Seth MacFarlane and the last cartoon by William Hanna. That's a big deal. And we should have that.
We absolutely should. And then the fact that we don't is an absolute travesty. Mm-hmm. You know, what I loved about this one, I don't remember watching that one as a kid. Yeah. I don't remember watching Wind Up Wolf as a kid. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen these things because I went back and during COVID, I rewatched every short that they had up on YouTube. So I've seen these before, but it's just like there's so many things that you can remember in flashes when you're a kid. And I don't remember these two. And I remember watching Hard Luck Duck and just having so much fun with it, you know, just sitting back and listening to Jim Cummings and Brad Garrett. And you hear those voices, like these two shorts in particular that you picked. One of them had a very Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote vibe to it, and it had a Tweety and Sylvester vibe to it, in a sense of Hard Luck Duck, you know. Yeah. And then it was the standard but updated modernist at that time for 94-95 when Wind Up Wolf came out, you know, of the big bad wolf story. So it was a fun little play on a story you heard when you were a kid with the Wind Up Wolf. But one of my favorite scenes, and it's because it hits so hard for what I do for a living, the fact that the fox is a chef, right? And his dish is this one duck. It's like a duck nugget, right? There's not much meat on that duck. And his whole business is a restaurant, and he's going to sell one duck nugget. One.
That's it.
That's what's so zany. That's what's so outlandish. That's what's just so dumb in the best possible way about this cartoon that I just fucking absolutely fell in love with it. I mean, it was just, it was fun seeing, like I said, that Spike character in Tom and Jerry that would go over there and beat up Tom if he tried to mess with Jerry.
Yep.
You know, it was just, there was, it really felt like he took everything that he touched in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his homage. That was his love letter. That was his last bow. That was his send off. You know what I mean? Obviously, it was his last cartoon. You know, you don't know when you're coming, but I feel like when you get to his age and when you got to Joe's age, you kind of know, hey, man, tomorrow might not be promised, you know? So let me get everything out there. And like I said, that felt, you know, for whatever it might be, I know a lot of people have brought up that cartoon that I've had on that have said, you know, it's not like it was the greatest. They only gave it to him because he was Will Hanna. I mean, dude, you give it to him, man. Michael Jordan shows up to the arena. You let him in. You know, he doesn't pay for anything. He doesn't pay for a ticket. He doesn't pay for a hot dog and a Coke and some popcorn. You know what I mean? Same thing with Joe and Bill. But I loved it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was cute. I thought it was, like I said, it was just a blast. Out of that one and Wind Up Wolf, if you had to have one be the one that you wanted to remember him for, which one would you pick?
Probably Wind Up Wolf. I like that
Wind
one.
Up Wolf?
Yeah, I think.
What was about that one that you liked more?
Well, I don't know. Now that you say it, just the way you put the whole nugget thing, that is really good. It's such an avant-garde restaurant deal. You know, it's like you're a chef. I'm
just
a foodie,
imagine
so,
you get in your what are those boats called with the big old what is it? not a wind motor? Yeah. Oh, fuck, man. What is it called? The big bayou boats that they have on the, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Kind of, what's that boat called?
Fan boats.
Fan. Is that what it's called? You see,
yeah, big fan
imagine
boat, yeah.
You're in the bayou. Yeah. You're hungry. You're like, oh shit, this restaurant over here, they got duck. You know, they got the duck. Let's go over there. Like, no, we sold out. Like, well, how many did you sell? You just had one. And it was one duck. I would be so, I would eat fox that night. You know, but you know, I digress. I don't mean to interrupt you, but like, what was it about Wind Up Wolf though that you liked a little bit more?
It's just that tale of three little pigs. There's so many of those, you know, and I like dumb robots. Like I like stupid robots, and it's the nostalgia thing. I remember that one being very prominent in my memory, and you know, a guy making a robot to go get the pigs for him and stuff. It was it was just fun, you know, is the whole thing. And the Jetsons make a cameo in it, so, which is great.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jetsons pop in, and I'm a purveyor of the Jetsons, man. I freaking love the Jetsons. They never get any love ever since the 90s movie in 1990. That was the last thing produced of the Jetsons until WWE had that one movie, which is crazy to me. Like, literally 34 years later with that. It's just, that's nuts to me. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it takes is the WWE and Scooby-Doo resurrecting the foundation of Hanna-Barbera.
Something is that, well, they were going to do that with Scoob, and they dropped the ball with Scoob. So they didn't quite.
What do you mean dropped the ball with Scoob? You didn't like Scoob?
No, I like Scoob okay. It was just kind of a mess, and their original pitch would have been way more interesting, but it wasn't a Scooby movie. It was a Hanna-Barbera movie, and it was gonna be like Jabberjaw was gonna be in it because you had Captain Caveman in there, like, but it was just sort of like, oh, randomly Captain Caveman's in this movie, you know? It's like Captain Falcon's there, but he sort of has like worked into the plot. You got Dick Dastardly, he's the villain, stuff like that. But it was going to have Grape Ape. It was going to have Jabberjaw. It was going to have like all the characters from Hanna-Barbera, like in this giant Avengers style mix up.
Would it have had Frankenstein Jr. in there? Because if it would have had Frankenstein Jr., I'm going to write a letter right now.
Dude, like if they would just give me Future Quest, like as a thing. I don't know if you ever read Future Quest at all.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. We've talked about it. I remember we talked about it. If they made Future Quest into like an animated series, like right now, we're done. It'd be over with. Because I love Frankenstein Jr. I love Mitor. I love all those Hanna-Barbera cartoons. They were so fun. But like that's what like Scoob was gonna be. It was gonna be like this like Laugh Olympic style like action movie or whatever, which probably isn't like the right direction if you want to make a movie called Scoob. But I liked Scoob. I just think that they didn't give it much of a chance. They threw it out there during COVID, you know, so nobody went and saw it. And then they just kind of said, whatever. And they canned the sequel. So that's where they dropped the ball for me. So I think they should have given it more of a shot, because they, you know, they just didn't bother because it was COVID movies. So they just threw it out on streaming and then it died. It's like, okay, cool. Like, eh. So, but yeah, what was I talking about?
We were just talking about Scoob, because you had said it had dropped the ball multiverse. Yeah. You know, I 100% agree with you. I would have loved to see that movie, but I think they would have had two conflicting properties out. And maybe this is why. Yeah. Because are you a fan of Jellystone?
Mm-hmm. I'm sort of a fan of it. Sort of. I
fucking love Jellystone. It's so fun. Yeah.
There's parts of it that I like, and then parts of it that I'm just like, I don't like, because I like Chowder. I like the guy who made, I like Chowder, and it's the guy who made Chowder.
C.H. Greenblatt.
C.H. Greenblatt. He's great. Like, at just like, there's just like parts of Jellystone that I really like, and there's parts I'm just like, that's a weird decision. I don't know. And I get it. He's a wacky dude. He has a really wacky sense of humor, and I like that, but I don't know. It's like, I do appreciate the cameos. I saw the Jetson cameo on there. I loved the Jetson cameo on there, actually. I think that was actually a lot of fun.
Did you watch the Space Ghost one?
I watched the Space Ghost one, yeah.
Man, oh man, that made my pants tight so bad. I was so happy to see it.
It's really weird because, like, when Space Ghost Coast to Coast was on, they had the original Space Ghost voice actor on there, and he was really old.
George Lowe.
George Lowe, and he was really old at the time. And now they have that Space Ghost on Jellystone, and he's super old now. It's like, oh no, how old am I? Like, this is terrible. It's like, so, oh, but
we need to do a Jellystone episode so you can appreciate the shout out to Toby Jones, because Toby Jones got the storyboard. Previous guest, he got the storyboard the Space Ghost episode, and he was such a huge fan of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, like I am myself, and like so many people are. And he had a great time on that episode.
That's cool. That's awesome. And again, there's things that I really appreciate about it. I love Doggy Daddy and Augie. I think that's like the best. They do a lot of episodes involving them, and that's correct, because they're hilarious. The her lost in the grocery store is one of my favorite episodes, because she's just having a blast and like doing this, and he's freaking the fuck out. Like, where's my daughter? Ah! And it's like, he's freaking out on people like that. That stuff's fantastic. I can't remember that guy's name, the actor who plays the little bear kid, like that. He plays, it's the Hillbilly Bears.
Country Bears? Bears.
It's the Hillbilly Bears and like the kid. And it's like this comedian, and it's like his voice on that, like, just, it grates me, man. There's something about it that I'm just like, can't do that one. But there's parts of it that I really like, and then parts I'm just kind of like, why is Yogi a doctor? Like, I don't understand.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because we for sure need to do a Jellystone episode.
We should.
But I love the fact that literally the dumbest character is like him. I can't remember if I just want to see this, but him reading somebody's heart with a potato, something along those lines. It was something so stupid. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this is comedy at the peak. I fucking, like, there's so many people that hate on Teen Titans Go, and they liken Jellystone to Teen Titans Go because of the animation style, because of that chibi, that cute, that little, you know, watered down, like, 5-year old humor. But there is so much fun to be had in both of those shows. You know, when I think of Teen Titans Go, it gets a bad rap. But when Robin, the superhero, and Robin the bird switched bodies and brains, and then you've got Cyborg cooking a fucking meatloaf, leaves it on the counter, and you have Bird Robin come in, and then he fucking guns himself. It is one of the stupidest and dumbest things ever. But like I said, that and Jellystone, I fucking love Jelly.
Yeah. I appreciate a lot of Jellystone. There's parts of it that feel very meme humor to me. That's like a little bit like, ah, it's a bit too much. But they're like, when it hits a good humor moment, I'm like, oh, it's great. There's a few changes that I think is weird. I don't know why Jabberjaw's a girl. We should do an episode. We should absolutely do an episode, because I don't dislike Jellystone. I think it's very fun in what it tries to do. And I know that that Greenblatt is like, you know, he does what he does. So it's we could definitely do a whole episode on it, and I'll stave off for that. We can leave it at that.
Speaking of an episode we're doing on, we're talking What a Cartoons, ladies and gentlemen. I know this is what I like. I said this is what I love about podcasts, man. We go wherever we can, we go over where we want to. So as we start to wind down, there is one cartoon in particular. Well, one of mine and one of yours I wanted to circle back to because I don't think we talked about it enough. We talked about it a little bit. We didn't talk about Gramps enough. There was one scene in particular that I absolutely loved in Gramps. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Butch Hartman and Mike Ryan. Say what you will about Butch, man. I've got no opinion, good, bad, or indifferent. I know the guy's a controversial character. I'm not here to shit on anybody. Even with John Kay, I try not to shit on anybody because I don't want anything coming back on me, you know. It's just there's so much hate out there already, and the last thing I want is hate directed towards me. So go somewhere else for that shit. But what I will say, this short was hilarious. It has revolved around two little kids playing a Nintendo-esque game of Space Invaders, and then their grandpa is sleeping, and they wake him up. He hits him in the head. The oxygen comes out, goes into the dog. Very stupid, silly little gags. And the dog floats up to the sky. And then, like most grandpas do, let me tell you a story about my youth, about walking up a mountain when it was 10 feet of snow and yada, 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 just to get to school. Yeah. My favorite scene in this was that montage. Everything's black and white. And the kids are just picking apart grandpa's stories. Like, weren't you a farmer? Didn't you have a mule? We've never had a woman president. He was like, please, for the love of God, give me this one. Give me this one thing. I loved that scene. But what I loved the most was right before they switched from black and white to color was just that splash of yellow. Yellow is my favorite color. That splash of yellow. And I was like, oh, man, this is so cool. And then the aliens were sitting there like, oh, yellow. And he's like, but I look really good in yellow. So I loved this. This whole pilot. What was your favorite part? What was your favorite scene? What was your favorite moment in that?
You mentioned it. Let me have this one. Let me have this one. His hot farmer wife was just like the best. Like, and I just like, you know, you have the two kids' voices. I forget who forgot her name that does those.
Tara kids. Strong. I think Tara Did does Tara Strong one of them. Yeah, because it was very Bubbles esque.
Yeah, she does one, and then the other one is it Kath Soucy? I think Kath Soucy Probably. Might do the other one, but yeah, it's so good. Like, it just like in Nebraska, you know, I don't know. They sound like these little shits, like, like these little punks. Like, it's so funny because, like, when I was younger, I identified with the kids, like, calling his grandpa on his bullshit.
Now you're the old guy,
and now I'm the old guy. I'm like, shut the fuck up and let him talk, you little. Bucks. Like, it's so, it's just, it's like when you grow up like watching a Goofy movie, it's like, oh, you're on Max's side, and then when you grow up, you're like, you're on Goofy's side. It's just it completely switches.
I'm still chasing that slice of pizza, by the way.
Yeah, right, there you go. But that one line of when he's just like, just give me this one thing, please. it's like okay, like, they have to let him have his hot farmer wife. So good.
Oh, great. No, story. she was the president.
Oh, president. That's right. Yeah, as the president. Yeah. Female president. Yeah,
we've never had a female president. And then, like I said, that was like my favorite scene. Just seeing the color changes, I thought it was really cool. Really, really interesting way to like push something further, right? Mm-hmm. And then my favorite scene was they essentially kill him at the end, but they don't really kill him. They're like, oh, he went to sleep, and they just turned his oxygen down. That is one of the most diabolical.
It's so dark.
I'm tired of hearing the story. What did he do? I just turned the oxygen down.
I just turned down his oxygen. It's like, oh my God. Like, that could kill him. It's so funny. And again, like, it has really verbose humor to it. It's like, it's very, it's not dark, but it's like really punchy. Mm-hmm. And it has like some classic, like the punchiness that I would say that like Fairly Odd Parents had back in the day. You know, you had that, like, there's some punchy humor to that. That's like really like verbose and like kind of like, you know, like, oh, Dad, when it's like, when did you give up in your dreams, Dad? How old are you again? You know, it's like stuff like that. It's just like, good stuff. Like, I love that. So Yeah, it's one of my all-time favorites, and I remember learning it was Butch Hartman, years ago. I want to say about 5-7 years ago, I learned that Butch Hartman did that one, because I remember that short specifically out of most of them. That was probably the one apart from like the ones that got picked up that I remembered the most, which was Gramps. I love Gramps, and again, like I said on our episode, on my Animation Destination episode, it's the one that I wanted to see picked up the most. Yeah. Like I would have loved to have seen that. Just that old grandpa making up bullshit stories to his kids.
relatable.
Yeah. And them just like tearing it apart. You could go anywhere with it. It'd be great. It'd be awesome. So I would love to see that. Reboot it, Butch. Let's call Butch up.
God damn it. Make this shit happen. Right? And then the last one for me, like I said, when I think of what a cartoon, I think of O-Rats and a Hot Tin Can, and then I think of Two Fat Cats, Drip Dry Drip. This one was so fun because it was weird, and I don't know why. I have the whole Mandela effect, the Bernstein Bears and the Bernstein Bears, that whole thing. So sure. I had this thought in my head for up until I rewatched this. I haven't rewatched this short probably since 2020. I thought when the president come on, because of when it was, I thought the guy talked with a Clinton accent for the longest time. All right. I thought that's what it was, because he had his look. He didn't really walk like him. Bill wasn't really like a fucking, a real big bodybuilder type guy, but he had this presidential vibe to him. And I don't know why I thought that it was a Bill Clinton sound alike as far as the voice goes. But this one is centered around two brothers, younger brother Louis, older brother Elmo. Mm-hmm. Elmo is very of mice of men, very slow, very Lenny, but he's very, very like childlike in his sensibility and his humor. He is very young up here. And they open up a dry cleaning spot, and they get a phone call as soon as they open, and it's not the phone. It's the phone. It's the red phone coming straight from the White House. Mm-hmm. And the president needs who starts their day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? I want to know, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got 4 hours until you close. That's a work day. I can do that. But the president calls. He needs his suit pressed, cleaned, and altered by 5 o'clock because he's got a round of golf to go play. And then hilarity ensues. You know, they end up taking all of the measurements. They do a dick joke in there in between, because they go and measure the inseam, which I thought was hilarious. He's like, oh, my bad, Mr. President. And then he looks over at the camera. So he goes and he takes it. And then I don't know why I just blanked on the younger brother's name, but he takes down all of the measurements, and it ends up being a happy, smiling son with the house that he drew. Pisses his older brother off. The one scene that always comes to mind is when Louis is hitting the button to bring the suits over, and then suit comes, and then a half rack of cow, another half of a cow, and then another one's coming, and then he goes over there, and then he's just got a cow. They're both looking at the camera. There's a red X on the cow's head, and he's hiding the mallet behind his back. That's the scene that comes to mind. You know, like I said, suit gets ruined. They knock it out in 5 minutes. Bing, bang, boom, the short's over with, and it was just fun. It was very similar to the humor that was going on. I think John McKellen, however you say his last name, directed this one. Just a fun short, fun, stupid little short from start to finish.
Yeah. Ron Fleischer was actually the creative director, too. So Animaniacs, it has that very, very distinct Animaniacs look to it.
Yes.
That those poppy movements, those smiles and those big hands like that. You cannot miss that. Like when you look at it, it's like, oh, that's the Warner Brothers. Like the way they're moving, like the way the two brothers are moving. It's very much the Animaniacs, the way they move. It's a lot of fun. I remember, like, there's little signatures in animation that you can pick out of, like, certain things, like not just art design, but the way something is animated. You can see how Tex Avery animated something as opposed to somebody else, or Chuck.
Jones, Bob Jones. Clampett.
Yeah, Chuck Jones, Bob Clampett. Like, you could tell when a Chuck Jones cartoon was on. You could tell when, freaking this was the same guy that did The Grinch. I like seeing those little signatures and things, and Ron Fleischer has one of those very specific things that you see in many Animaniacs cartoons, where they're doing those poppy hand gestures and big goofy dog smiles and stuff, cat smiles in this case though. So, you know, it's cool to watch it in that light. So it was fun rewatching this one, because I remember this one a lot. Because again, anything that's in a Frasier style chaos ramps up towards the end, I always love. Just it gets worse and worse and worse and worse until it all explodes. And in this case, literally the whole thing just like blows up at the end. And yeah, like I see what you mean about the president though. Like the way he looked like he would have been a Clinton parody. Like, yeah. I, it's weird that he wasn't, you know, like I didn't, you know, I don't remember him being that, but like the way you say it, it's like, yeah, it seems like he should have been a Clinton parody. Like that's just how you did it. So,
I mean, maybe everybody was doing Clinton at that time, yeah. And there's just something they didn't really want to do, but
I,
like I said, I've looked back on this time of my life very fondly, and I'm very happy that I have something like YouTube where I can go back and I can rewatch and recapture my childhood. I'd much rather have it on a Blu-ray format, just saying Cartoon Network, Discovery, whoever owns this stuff, I would like to have it. You know, Christmas is right around the corner. My 35th birthday is coming up in August. It'd be a great little, you know, introduction to, hey, we've got What a Cartoon coming on, DVD and Blu-ray. But nonetheless, man. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys have been sticking through us with this long. You know, we did talk What a Cartoon. We talked about a whole bunch of other stuff. Hope this is what, like I said, this is what I love about the medium of animation, man. Mm-hmm. You never know where the topic's going to go. You can set out and do What a Cartoon. You can come in and said, we're going to talk this, but there's so many influences that go into some of these things. And then you go down these rabbit holes. And I wrote down like four things that I'm going to go and check out that we probably never would have checked out if we didn't at least hit one or two tangents. So what I'm getting at, Brandon, it's always fun to have you on, man. With people that maybe this is the first time they've heard or seen you on my show, maybe they're a new guest themselves, what can they expect if they go over to Animation Destination?
If you go to our Animation Destination, you can expect an animation celebration podcast. I never talk about stuff that I don't like. It's always something that I celebrate, something that I enjoy. If there's animation that comes out recently that I don't like, I don't really talk about it that much. So I don't like to crap on things on my media. I do like to crap on things. That's a lie.
But I don't
do it on my podcast typically. And I don't make the topic about something that I hate. I always make it about something that I enjoy. And you know, I have a stupid trivia brain for dumb animation things. I can't remember, you know, I can't remember 17 of my different passwords to things on my computer, but I can remember, you know, Jack Kirby showed up at a meeting and Thunder the Barbarian. That's a recent one, so that's not too bad. But still, it's like these things get retained when it happens. But you'll see those things kind of pop out all the time. And a lot of my guests are super into the stuff that I do. Jay's a great guest. He's always into the stuff that the more, I guess, kid-oriented stuff. He's on my Bluey episode, my Hilda episodes. So, and I cover anime, animation, cartoons, kids' cartoons. I love my Bluey episode. The Bluey episode is one of my favorites, and that's literally just a children's episode. I'm doing another Bluey episode pretty soon, so on The Sign, which was the latest special of Bluey. You know, it's good stuff. Well, I think it's good. Go listen to it.
I think it is too. I know it is.
Yeah, so I don't want to toot my own horn, but you'll probably come out with some laughs and some stupid bit of animation trivia that you probably didn't need to ever know, but then you will. So
it's the more you know. That's what we need to have a buckler. Yeah. Larry, hook us up with the more you know, just going across our back. Like I said, Brandon, it's always fun. You can see Brandon coming up very soon. We're going to be doing a My Hero. You'll see Brandon, see Ricky, and we're going to see Ty on here. And we might try to get Sean on here as well, because Sean hasn't been on in quite some time. We're going to be doing a half season and a full season breakdown of My Hero. So if you're not watching My Hero, ladies and gentlemen, get on it. I was so pissed. Brandon, I was so mad when that first episode ended, because I am very weird when it comes to the manga and anime. I will not read past what I've seen because I want to be surprised with the show. Makes no sense whatsoever when you think about it.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah, but I was just like, I want, here's why. I don't think I've told you this story, and then we'll end it with this one. So last season, right? I think it was last season. Last season, Lemillion lost his powers, or was it the season before, right?
Season before, yeah.
Okay. Season four. So season before last, right? So he gets his powers back. You don't know that, right? If you read the manga ahead, you would know that. Mm-hmm. So Hayden and I are watching. It's the fight with Dobby and all of them.
Yep.
And I see a flash go by. I'm like, hey. Those colors. What was that? Was that Lemillion? Hayden's in the kitchen. He's getting something to drink or something to eat. Because we watched this one and we're watching One Piece. You need to watch One Piece, Brennan. Just saying, don't wait till next year. Watch it.
I do.
It's fantastic. It's so good. I'm so invested right now. I mean, I'm wearing One Piece PJ pants right now. For God's sakes, I have just went off the deep end with this shit. But anyways. And I go, oh my God, Hayden, you got to come in here quick. He thought something crazy happened. He's like, what happened? And I go rewind. I'm like, do you see that flag? It was like, I was, it was the Leonardo DiCaprio oh shit. What was the movie? With Quentin Tarantino. The last one he just did.
Oh yeah.
Once upon a Hollywood. He's pointing towards it. So I did it. He's like, what are you pointing at? And I do it again. And I paused it. I'm like, what do those colors look like? And he was like, what are you looking at? And I was like, dude, this fucking Lemillion. And then the very next scene, Lemillion pops up and he was like, yeah, dad, I know, I've read the manga. I'm further than, I know what happens. And I was like, I look at him and I told Ricky this too. I'm like, this is exactly why everybody hates kids. You,
how dare you?
Goddamn kids shitting on my parade. It's My Hero Academia. The first episode off this latest season has been so fantastic. I'm so ready for our split episode. But like I said, Brandon, man, it's always a blast when I get to have you on here because you are one of the most intelligent people I've ever met, especially when it comes to animation. I am very envious of you when you can sit here and rattle shit off. I'm like, God damn it. I wish I could remember some of this shit.
Oh, man, it's great being on. I love having you. I love coming on with you because you are like, you say you have an annoying voice. You have a very soothing voice, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I think we both have good radio voices, honestly.
Yes. We also have faces for sure.
Yes. No, we have faces for video as well. I think we're both two handsome dudes. It's great to have you on. And the hustle this guy does to get people on his show is crazy good. I wish I had half the ability or half the balls to like contact the people. Dude talks to Craig McCracken twice. He's had Butch Hartman on, Hey Arnold, creator.
Craig Bartlett.
Yes. And it's like, he's had Craig Bartlett on twice. And twice or once, Cameron? Twice. See, I haven't asked him about, you need to get him back on one more time. Because I need to talk to him about,
I've got two more times that I'm going to try. One, we're going to do, I talked to him last year about it. We're going to do the episode where we did all of the, what are they called? The spooky, Urban Legends, the Urban Legends episodes. I want to do that one. And I want to do the same thing we're doing, like I did with the Powerpuff Girls. I'm going to get him, one of the writers, one of the artists, maybe a voice actor. I haven't talked to him about that one yet, but that's something we're working on.
That's fantastic. I want to talk to him. I want to ask a question about Party Wagon. I need to talk about Party Wagon with him. Even if it's just through you, I have to talk about Party Wagon because I fucking love Party Wagon. It's one of my favorite little shorts that never got anything. And again, it's like, what a cartoon show. It's like that pilot that never got made into anything, but it was awesome. I loved it and I want more of it. So, you know, I got to talk to him about it.
TBD, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure you come back and check it out, but also make sure you go over to Animation Destination. Check out Brandon's show dropping mostly every Thursdays. Now, are you back to a weekly schedule now?
Pretty close. I think we skipped last week, but we're going back up weekly again. But it's mostly weekly. Yep. So,
and even if you're not looking for weekly to weekly, this man has got, what are you doing? 10 years now?
Well, it is 10 years this year. Yes.
Back catalog is fucking insane.
It's 368 episodes at this point.
Jesus.
So, a lot of episodes. So I need to start breaking that down into seasons because I think that's a little bit too much for people to grasp.
Dude. There's 1,104 episodes of One Piece. I'm on episode 98.
It's true. Yeah. And going to be having a new show coming out. It will probably be just under the same umbrella as this one, but we're going to be covering arcs from anime, from shonen anime. So we'll be covering.
You got a name for it yet?
Not yet. That is in the works. I will not pause it here because it's I'm working on it. But yeah, it's going to be shonen anime, and we're going to cover each arc by arc. That's how I'm going to start One Piece. I'm going to do each arc of One Piece and talk to people about that because I haven't watched it yet. We're going to go through. We did all of Dragon Ball. That's almost done. That's almost done. That one will be going up as we're recording this Thursday, which will be the Piccolo Saga, King Piccolo Saga.
How long is that episode? Yeah. Do you guys go for a long time?
What's that?
Do you guys go for a long time on that episode?
It's about an hour and 20, so not too bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not too bad at all. So, yeah.
I was hoping for a 3-hour on that one.
Yeah. I was going to do Piccolo Saga and then Piccolo Junior Saga together, and there was too much of both, so
yeah.
We split it up. So that would have been 3 hours easily. So, but yeah, so there we go. But yeah, thanks for plugging my stuff as always.
Oh, absolutely, man. Well, he's been Brandon. I've been Julian. It's been the What's My Head podcast, and this has been another piece of your childhood. Good night.
Hey guys, it's your resident cartoon junkie Brandon Jones here, asking you to have a listen to my Animation Destination podcast. It's an animation celebration podcast, and it's full of all sorts of stuff about anime and cartoons and voice acting and all that sort of thing, and just a really all-around celebration of anything animated. So come on by and check it out. We've got fan episodes of your favorite animes to your most obscure cartoons on Netflix that no one's ever heard of, and just really love talking about it. You can subscribe to us on Spotify and iTunes and anywhere else you can get your podcasts from. So stop on by, subscribe, and stay tuned for the Animation Destination Podcast.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Before we go, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with the podcast today. I truly appreciate every download and listen we get. If you're liking what we're doing, drop us a 5-star rating, drop us a review, tell a friend, and I'll see you next week.